Welcome to the SearchAssistantChannel.com podcast on hardware device installation in Windows 7. I'm Assistant Editor Pat Ouellette, and our guest today is Windows expert Ed Tittle. Thanks for joining us today, Ed.
Hi, Pat. Nice to be here.
What is Plug and Play?
Good question. It's a capability that was developed by Microsoft, and it enables a PC to recognize hardware as and when it gets plugged into a machine. It even allows it to automatically install a working device driver for the hardware if it can find one. In fact, when Windows boots up, it goes through a process called hardware discovery to identify all the devices plugged into the PC and to check their drivers and status. Since 1999, Plug and Play falls under the Universal Plug and Play Forum, aka UPnP, an industry group with over 900 members from the computing, printing, networking, consumer electronics, and other industries who work together to promote seamless interconnection or use of devices and to simplify home and corporate networking.
And what happens when I plug a device into a Windows 7 computer?
For the vast majority of devices, especially newer ones, Windows 7 recognizes the device and supplies a working device driver. Thus, the device obtains all the drivers it needs to work properly. For example, when I plugged a Logitech USB headset into Windows 7 PC for the first time, a driver software installation window pops up and tells me it installs drivers for a USB composite device, that is, one with multiple functions, in this case sound input from a microphone and sound output to the headphones. It also installed a USB input device for the microphone and for the particular Logitech headset that I was using.
Okay, and why do device vendors provide installation software?
Well, given that UPnP can deal with most devices, you might actually wonder why they do this, often on CD or DVD along with devices. That's because installing some devices can involve more substantial changes to the Windows runtime environment than simply installing one or more basic device drivers. In some cases, multiple drivers may be needed to support a device, as with the Logitech headset I used in my previous example. And in other cases, various registry updates, Windows Explorer add-ons, management and diagnostic tools, and other elements must be incorporated into your Windows runtime environment for a device to work properly. An install program can handle all of these tasks and more, and will also check its work when it's done to make sure your device is installed and working properly.
What happens if I can't find a Windows 7 driver for an older device?
Yeah, this can be kind of a vexing problem, especially if you've got an older but still functional hardware component. Certain printers fall into this category, as do all kinds of specialized Windows peripherals like those for point-of-sale systems. This can be frustrating to learn, especially when the vendor offers no driver for Windows 7 and perhaps may have no plans to develop one either. There are a few approaches you can take to address this problem. First, you might turn to a driver update site. I use driveragent.com myself, but other sites such as RadarSync, Driver Guide, Driver Detective, and so forth offer essentially the same services. You can use these sites to see if some kind of up-to-date Windows 7 driver is available, or if, perhaps, a Windows Vista driver might work. For a lot of devices, actually, for Windows 7, Vista drivers work just fine. You may have to pay to download a driver from one of these driver site providers, or you can use the information that you know a driver exists to visit the device maker's website to see if a driver is available. Another approach you can try is to install the vendor installation package for an earlier version of Windows in Windows 7. Simply right-click its MSI or EXE file for the program, click Properties, then click the Compatibility tab in the Properties window, and select the appropriate operating system inside the Compatibility Mode pane. In some cases, this will do the trick quite nicely. I was able to use this recently on an older HP notebook for which no Windows 7 driver was available for a fingerprint reader to install a Vista driver instead, but this technique let me install that driver and it worked just fine on Windows 7 as well.
What should I do if a device manager includes one or more items as unknown devices?
Well, the other thing you might see, in fact, is something that shows up as other devices as well. Basically, this means that device manager sees a device, but it doesn't know what it is or it can't find a driver for it. For example, I was just on the phone yesterday with D-Link because I had the built-in network interface on a motherboard in one of my test machines go bad, and I had to put a network interface card for a new network connection into my machine, and when the machine booted up after I inserted the new hardware, wonder of wonders, Windows 7 wasn't able to find a driver for it. Ultimately, by looking around in the right place and jumping through the right hoops, however, I was able to get that to work just fine. So when Device Manager shows any entry or entries labeled unknown device or other device, that means hardware discovery fails to identify the device in question. And of course, if it can't identify it, it can't find a driver for it either. In that case, you can click on the unknown device, then select Properties from the resulting pull-down menu, and select the Details tab. If you look for the hardware IDs in the property pane and write them down, you can search on them to find a driver for the device that's involved. You might see a string something like ACPI/PNP0700 or ACPI/ENE0100. In fact, with that last example, I was able to find a working driver by identifying that device as a infrared remote control, and by using the combination of that device ID and the name of the laptop that I was working on, I was able to find a driver for it just fine. Some digging around may be needed, and if it turns up nothing, you can also look at online forums where other users of your desktop or notebook machine are active. Chances are good that somebody else has had this problem already, and you may be able to find a fix and, in fact, be told where to go to find the necessary drivers.
Ed Tittle, thanks for your time, and thanks for listening to this podcast.